Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Daryl, as you can imagine, you know, I tweeted last night I wasn't going to do the ref thing for 4 hours.
Yeah, you are.
Doing the ref thing
you
for
are,
4 hours.
You are definitely going to do the ref thing for a lot of hours.
Did the officials cost the Browns a victory yesterday?
They didn't help. I'll say that.
Thank you, Daryl. My guy.
That's
why
fair.
I like Daryl more than you.
I think that's fair.
They didn't help. That's for sure. Question about it. But I'm as I just reposted this morning, as I wrote last night, the Browns were just as much to blame for that loss as the officials were. So we can sit here and debate the terrible calls, and they were terrible. But if you don't give the Oakland Raiders four short fields and 24 points, that game's a blowout.
I don't think, Daryl, that I don't think that the referees missing what they're supposed to do absolves the Browns of any of the responsibility. But I just think it's silly to say, well, that's a loser's mentality, like has been said today by not just my co-host, but by several others, that that's a loser's mentality. Well, yeah, if you won, you're not going to complain as much about the referees. That's just fact. Two, right. If you're a paying customer in the NFL as a fan, if you have cable, you're a paying customer in the NFL if you're consuming this. You can call them out for not doing their job. That's bad customer service, and you're allowed to be angry about it.
That Carlos Hyde overturn was beyond ridiculous.
Yes.
You know, sitting in my office yesterday watching that over and over, I did not see one singular camera angle that warranted overturning the original call on the field. And when that happens, you don't overturn the call. Like, that is the first time that I've seen a call get overturned where there's no clear evidence to overturn it. Yet, was he close to the 19-yard line? Was it questionable? Could you have questioned the original spot? Absolutely. Conversely, had the officials originally spotted the ball where they ended up moving it back to after the replay and gone to video review, there was also no evidence where I could say he clearly got the line to gain. They should have left that alone. Replay is supposed to be there to help you get calls right. Then you have the strip sack of Derek Carr that got picked up by Larry Ogunjobi, who would have walked into the end zone for a scoop six. That was blown dead because they, I don't know how
that
you rule
bad.
A quarterback
yeah.
in the grass by
garbage.
Hitting his arm.
Total garbage.
I certainly, the Raiders, though, would then flip the script and say, well, that gets canceled out because Marshawn Lynch was prematurely whistled down earlier in the game, and he probably would have scored a touchdown.
Well, if we're going to have those checkers games played, then he probably should have got a flag for trying to put the ball into the stands like he was Nick Nolte in Blue
yep.
Chips.
Yeah, and then also Mayfield got drilled in the face mask in overtime, which always gets called as a roughing penalty.
Took it in the
On
chops.
The ensuing punt after the Hyde blown call, they missed a blatant block in the back that I saw front of the returner. So the officiating was awful yesterday. There's no question about it. The league's going to send probably a weak apology to the Browns. Or actually, I woke up this morning and I saw the statement or whatever, the unofficial from a league source on the referee officials, and I thought that was a bunch of hot garbage. But you know what I also thought was hot garbage yesterday? The defense. You can't give up nearly 600 yards in total offense and expect you're going to win a football game. That just doesn't happen at this level.
All right, Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us. Obviously, we saw against Drew Brees and against Ben Roethlisberger, that defense confuse them at times. Greg Williams, we were giving him credit for the scheme. Mm-hmm. What happened yesterday?
Well, I think that the injury to Terrence Mitchell certainly was a major, major factor. And losing him potentially here for the season with that broken wrist, that's a pretty devastating blow. A lot of blown assignments, mixed up coverages. I don't know what happened, Anthony. Yesterday, for as bad as the officiating was yesterday, you could probably say the coaching was just as bad, too. That was not a well-coached football game yesterday either. So I could not believe what I watched from a defense that had played pretty well in those first three games. Yesterday, the wheels just came completely off the wagon. I think part of that, too, Anthony, was in that fourth quarter and overtime, they were on the field so much, they were just completely gassed.
I think that's true. Daryl Ryder joining us. Do you think that maybe some of the play calls got a little bit? Because as things got out of hand, it seemed to get kind of nastier as time went on, where maybe there were some emotional play calls instead of heady play calls by Greg Williams?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. And that's what I was getting at with you know, some of the poor coaching. Special teams, poorly coached. Defense, poorly coached. At times, offense, poorly coached. So, you know, it yesterday's loss, and I wrote this after the game, it was just your prototypical Browns loss, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. You're up 10, then you're up 14. You go down by 6, you come back, and you go up by 8 again with less than 2 minutes. But he held none of those leads. I am dismayed at times by this franchise's ability to lose games that, quite frankly, they should have won. They should have won that game yesterday. They should have won in New Orleans. They should have beaten the Steelers. We should be sitting here talking about a team that's 4-0. But you are what your record is, and that's 1-2-1.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us on the hotline. So a lot of people are going to look at the box score and see Nick Chubb had 3 carries, averaged 35 yards a carry. He had 2 touchdowns. He had the 63-yard run. I mean, we are talking about game-breaking ability to beat everybody down to the end zone. Why only 3 carries?
I don't know. That's one of the things I wrote last night. Why did Nick Chubb only touch the ball 3 times after rolling off touchdown runs of 63 and 41 yards? Don't understand it, and that will be a question that starts to get asked because, you know, Chubb is averaging about 5 snaps per game here, and I don't know if that's a rookie thing. I don't know if he's having poor weeks in practice that we don't get to see, but it's one of those good problems to have in sitting here arguing about which playmaker gets to touch the ball more. So that is a good positive problem for the Cleveland Browns to have.
Was Baker good yesterday?
Well, outside of the 4 turnovers, he was okay. Unfortunately, he had the 4 turnovers, and it cost the Cleveland Browns 24 points. So there were times where he made some brilliant throws. His receivers did him no favors yesterday. We haven't even talked about that. Baker got to deal with what many a Browns quarterback has had to deal with, and that's a bunch of guys that couldn't catch a football that hit him in the hands. So that's problematic. But if you take away the 4 turnovers and just look at the film, I thought Baker played pretty well. But you can't take away those 4 turnovers because they were pretty bad and very, very costly and just as complicit in that loss as the poor officiating.
Well, Daryl, I talked yesterday with you and Ken on the pregame show with Jonathan Wells. We talked about managing the game for Baker. And I got to say, I was impressed that they essentially gave him the full playbook. And I thought they got a little cute down in their own, you know, in their own 20. You know, they're asking him to throw the ball on first down when the black hole was actually coming alive. I thought that was a little too cute. They got greedy. But I also think in the same way, that's a good sign that they trust him so much already. Maybe a little too much trust, but that they trust him. Because I think big picture, you saw some things that make you get real excited about the future of the Browns with Baker Mayfield at the helm.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he continues to make throws, Anthony, that we have not seen Browns quarterbacks make. It would be nice if the guys being thrown the football caught them. That would help, but that is exciting to watch. And again, you hate to go into the moral victory fridge here, but I don't think we have a choice today after what we witnessed yesterday. But
don't get Bud Light.
That's
ideas,
one of the
Darryl.
Main things you walk away feeling good about.
Am I to expect this from Antonio Callaway every now and then, where he'll just disappear and make terrible play after terrible play, and then he'll have one play that almost redeems himself basically the entire way through? Because the whole time I'm going, hey, he could still make a play, and sure as hell he did make a play later on.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think he got cramps or something, or else that should have been a touchdown. I think so. I think it's just, you know, hopefully it's just rookie growing pains, and no one wants to hear that. I certainly don't want to talk about it because I'm of the belief you're in the National Football League for a reason. You got to make the plays that are there for you to make. That's your job. So Antonio Callaway, aside from the 51-yard catch and run, didn't do his job yesterday. His job's to catch the football, make the plays for his quarterback when the quarterback puts the ball on a dime for him to do so. Those were not throws, Ken, where he had to make an acrobatic play. He had to, you know, do something highlight reel worthy to make a play. Those hit him in the breadbasket, and you've got to make those catches. So, based on what we're seeing early in the season, yeah, Antonio Callaway, I guess we're just going to have to live with those type of games, at least early in his career here, where he's got footballs hitting him in the hands and he's not able to catch them. Remember, he had a throw last week, beautiful over-the-shoulder throw on the sideline that went right through his hands. So we're going to deal with the drops, it looks like, with him on occasion, but then we're also going to deal with those wonderfully exciting, explosive plays like that 51-yard catch and run.
Darrell Wright, our Browns beat reporter on the hotline. Let's talk about those two-point conversions, the attempts. After a while, when you miss the first one, you're kind of chasing points, but they got back to normal when they were able to convert. Is this just going to be a sign of the times that that this is going to be an aggressive offense, that they are going to be going for two?
Well, you know, I know some people were upset about the first two-point conversion, and I certainly understand that. I would have kicked the extra point and been done with it. But once you don't make that, now all of a sudden you're chasing points. And they did convert the next two-point conversions. Duke Johnson did. So you're a genius if you convert them, and you're dumb if you go for them and you don't get them and you leave that extra point out there on the field. I do like the aggressiveness. It paid off two of the three times. And in the long run, when you look at the grand scope of the game and how it played out, that initial decision by Hugh Jackson to go for that first two-point try that did not work on the incomplete pass, that ultimately did not cost the Cleveland Browns the football game. What cost them was the fact that they could not stop the Oakland Raiders in the fourth quarter, and they also couldn't hang on to the football, for the most part, in the fourth quarter either.
Why are special teams such an abomination?
Good question. I have no idea, but they are an abomination, and I would probably say if I would start firing people on that side of the ball this morning. It's terrible. It's costing you football
teams, coach?
Games is what... When you can't even line up for a kickoff, that is the most basic thing you do. Line up to kick off. When you can't even do that right, that's coaching, people. Jabril Peppers is a horrible kick returner.
Yeah, are we done with this experiment?
I'd rather have Jeff Thomas
return kicks.
Because at least he'd take a knee.
You get caught twice deep in your own territory because you make stupid decisions of bringing the ball out. Take a knee. You get the ball at the 25. It used to be your goal was to hit the 20. If you're going to return it from the end zone, you absolutely have to get it to the 20. Now you have to absolutely get the football to the 25, because if you take a knee in the end zone, that's where you get the football. All phases of special teams. The first field goal almost got blocked. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie blew around the right side and almost got to that. So all phases of special teams are terrible. The return game's terrible. Kick protection's terrible. Kickoffs are terrible. Punting is terrible. All of it's terrible, and that's coaching.
All right, Darrell, appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you later this week.
Sounds good, guys.
Darrell Wright, our Browns beat reporter, with the update brought to you by TEC Communications, a local business technology leader for 40 years.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.